turn. It will bleed, it will burn, burn. But burn your love into the ground with the lips of another. Do you get lonely? Should I get lonely sometimes?
All my friends are wasted, and I hate this club, and I drink too much. Not the Friday night, I'm wasted.
Pharmacy addict hit a Wall Street traffic, took the car. We reinvent the wheel just to fall asleep at it. Crash on the floor, catch the ZZZs. Popping the polar opposite the NZG. Hip hop and the propaganda say they name brand. But I done seen how the did my main man. The nights we won't remember are the nights we won't remember. I'll be gone till November on my city cover simple. Dreams are made for cages, nigga. Lions are for real, nigga. Dying is for real, niggas dying off the field, nigga. Fridays are for chill and not escape the treachery. I just had to rest in peace, the recipe. The rest of us are praying at the sand. Don't leave a 10 if you're up right now. Hope you hear what I'm saying.
All my friends are wasted, and I hate this club.
If I get lonely some nights, when the angels on my shoulder slumber, head, I'm stuck here with the vultures hissing and circling. You didn't call me.
Everybody, welcome to Gay XYZ. How's it going tonight?
Hey guys, we're back again to being the Gay XYZ show this week.
Yes, we were mixing.
Last week was so ratchet.
We were missing our Z last week. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm back. Cece's back on the mic. No worries.
What is today? December 1st. It's December 1st. 2015, and it is World AIDS Day. And we want to say thank you to everybody who's listening tonight and on the show live, or if you're listening to the archives. Whoever you're listening, we appreciate it. I'm Donovan, and there's Jason, and there's Christian as well. So thanks for listening. By the way, just FYI, if you want to know more about us, you can go to gayxyz.com and find out all about us there. So it's after Thanksgiving. You guys have a good Thanksgiving. What did y'all do? How'd it go?
So I have my family kind of all scattered around the country, and I didn't really have enough time to do what I needed to do for work and then go there and come back. So I spent my day volunteering in the early afternoon from like 12 to 4, and then I hung out with a good friend of mine the rest of the day. So it was a good day. It was nice to just kind of get some rest in the middle of the week, you know.
Good. Did you end up finding somebody to do something with, Jason?
Yes, I actually went with a friend to a Thanksgiving charity event.
Awesome.
They were having it at the Warwick Melrose Hotel here in Dallas.
The Homo Hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed myself.
Well, good, good. I had a much more traditional family type of a thing, but it was fine when we went to Waco with Joy. Anyway, that was what we did. So
two out of three philanthropy. We're pretty good over here.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, I give them my checkbook anyway. So no, it's World AIDS Day, and we want to say happy World AIDS Day, I guess, whatever you say on World AIDS Day. And just quickly, we wanted to just address that, and then we'll move on to some more fun topics. But I wanted to say, AIDS is still an issue. People think it's not, blah, blah, blah. We've talked about this on the show before, but it's important. And I want people to still know that it is an epidemic. And however, thinking back, you know, from it's been around or known for what, 35 years or so. And we are closer now to a cure than ever before, a cure and a vaccine. So it's just probably a matter of time, and someday this whole thing will end. So do you guys have anything to say about World AIDS Day or anything about that?
I mean, not specifically, you know, like you said, we've mentioned in the past, people that have AIDS or struggling with HIV, and the kind of the walk that they, the path that they walk in their life. I mean, I think it's also really important to remember that, those are the people within our community that really are some of our most strongest members that continue to bring, different people, and allies within the gay community together outside of just having a good time and, you know, being sassy and blah, 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 blah. And it's not obviously not just gay people that have AIDS, donkey. I mean, you know,
no,
but you know what I'm
not.
Saying and how it pertains to, you know, what we're talking about.
Well, to our community specifically, but yes.
Right. Exactly.
What about you, Jason?
Mine's just one of those things is that, you know, despite, you know, being HIV positive or, you know, suffering with AIDS, you know, it is, you know, with the current, you know, medicines and things that are out, you can live a normal life just like anyone else if you get tested and treated early and with the proper medication and that type of thing. So,
yes,
you know, just because you're, you know, going through this, though, it does not mean it's the end of the world. You can live a long, normal life just like anyone else.
Pretty much. Exactly. And I just wanted to add that, you know, for those of you who do not have HIV, you don't want to get HIV or AIDS, and you want to protect yourselves and be smart when you're having sex, especially with people you don't know. And if you are having sex with people you don't know or having casual sex a lot or whatever, you might want to consider being on PrEP, which you've mentioned on the show before as well. Mm-hmm. If you don't know about PrEP, ask your doctor. So that's what we wanted to say. Happy World AIDS Day. So now Christian had a little thing he wanted to discuss tonight, and it was about the reasons why, as he puts it, guys ghost you or quit talking to you.
So you guys know, we kind of talked about it, you know, in the past. I am hella single. And, you know, with that comes a lot of dating. And I've just, you know, noticed, and for those of you that this is the first time listening to your show, I was in a relationship for 4 years. That ended at the beginning of this year. So, you know, a lot has changed in 4 years as far as, like, dating goes. And, So I've kind of noticed, and maybe it's just a tale as old as time, you know,
Celine. Go ahead.
So, you know, what do you guys think are some of the reasons when you're dating somebody, or like Jason specifically, if you're dating somebody or whatever, and you're into them or vice versa, and they just kind of like quit talking to you? I call it ghosting. They ghost you. Or you ghost them. What are some of the reasons that you guys think that happens?
Well, I say he's just not that into you.
Yeah.
It's not that, or it could be intimidation. That could happen too. Mm.
No. Come on.
Yes, you can.
There have been guys that have told me they were intimidated by me before. Very recently.
Why?
Very recently.
Why?
Especially if they're older than me and they have a certain perception of me.
What? But I'm asking you, what is it about you that they are intimidated by? Do you think that they told you?
Well, he didn't go into specifics of why he was intimidated by me, but I'm college educated. I have a really good job. I'm ambitious. I'm hardworking.
So it's not about being intimidated. It's about them being insecure.
Sure. Yeah.
No, it can be intimidation. It can be intimidation because, I mean, I've talked to people who, you know, like, you know, you have your casual conversation and you're just like, oh, so, well, you know, well, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, oh, I do, you know, this and this and this. And they're just like, oh, okay. Then they compare it to what they're currently doing, and you know, and from a financial, you know, standpoint, they're like, oh, he's making a lot more money than I am.
Yeah.
So I mean, that can have a lot to do with it.
But that's the same thing. That's what I'm saying. I experienced that too when I was single and years ago. And I always consider that to be insecurity. It had nothing to do with me intimidating them. It's about them being insecure. If you want to use the word intimidate as a synonym for insecurity, then yes, I agree. Because it's the same thing. I mean, there's no reason. It's like, for example, it's like in the heterosexual community when a man is intimidated by a woman, as you want to put it that way, intimidated by a woman who is like very successful or more successful than he has a nice house, has a car, da da da, and he doesn't, and therefore he says it's intimidation, but really what it is insecurity. It's so different. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. I mean, so don't you think that's the same thing? So why do you want to be with an insecure guy anyway?
No. That's like a huge turnoff. If a guy says that to me, ooh, turn off out the gate.
That's what I'm saying. So you're better off. You're better off without him anyway.
Oh, for sure. And trust me, I've been through some shit. I learned my lesson on that. you got to have your – you got to be a whole. You can't be a half. I need you to be a whole. And I'm
W-H-O-L-E.
And we can, you know. yeah, and I think for me, you know, I'm kind of guilty of it. I have, you know, been a ghoster. And I think I learned my lesson.
I think everyone's done that at least once in their life.
I think it's because you're just kind of scared of hurting somebody's feelings. You know what I mean?
I've never had that
problem. And you just hope that, you know.
When I was dating, I never had it. I mean, if I didn't like a guy. So what are you saying? They're afraid. You're saying you think most guys.
They're afraid of letting them down. Telling the truth.
No. See, that's the issue. I talked about this previously before on a show, too, that I'm just like very straightforward, like this is how it is, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
this
that's
is
what I'm you. Thinking. That's not everybody.
I know, bitch. I'm not saying it's everybody. I'm talking about me. I'm trying to say is that I think that people who have that attitude about it and are like, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings or whatever, I think that that is a disservice to the person that they're not telling it to. I think the person that they should be telling it to needs to know so that they understand that it's not them, it's the other person's issue. I think that's
right. But if you only go on a date with a guy like one date, do you really owe him an explanation?
I don't think you owe him one.
I don't know you.
I don't think you owe him one, but I think it's a nice gesture is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, if I was dating somebody for like 6 months, I wouldn't fucking ghost them. But if I went on one or two dates and it didn't really go very well and our textual chemistry changed, yeah, I would probably ghost your ass.
But see, didn't it? I mean, so you guys are probably more secure than I was anyway about myself when I was dating, when I was single in your age. Because when I was dating, I had, like, if some guy did this to me, I had to know what the fuck their issue was. Okay, what the fuck is your problem? You know, you did it. We're all into each other. And all of a sudden, you just vanished. And like, what the fuck happened? I mean, I want to know because I need closure because I'm insecure that way. I need to know what the fuck the deal is. Because the unknown to me is what drives me fucking crazy. They can tell me whatever they want to tell me, whatever it was. You know, I don't know, whatever it would be, and I don't care if how hurtful it is, as long as I know the truth, I can deal with that. But when someone just disappears, that was I felt that was unkind. I always
well
did.
See for yeah, me for,
go ahead.
No, I'm just saying for me for a first date, if I were to go on a very first date with someone and then, you know, it seemed like it went okay, you know, the date had gone pretty well, but I didn't hear back from them, me personally, I wouldn't care. Now, if it like just like Christian said, if it's like, you know, several months or several dates into it, and then you all of a sudden you just kind of disappear, like we do, like we're on date number 7, and all of a sudden you disappear after that, then I may, you know, want to know like what the hell. But
well, I think it. Don't you think
the first date, I could really care less.
Yeah, and don't you think? I guess what you're trying to say also, or you're saying the same thing I am, I guess, a different way. But I think both of you are saying that. I think it depends on how invested you are in the other person and how much you like them, whether or not you feel you owe them an explanation as well. So, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think guys who do that, I think, you know, if you want to, I don't know. I think it's a guy thing to do that. It's such a straight guy thing to do that.
It so is. Yeah, I just got ghosted like the week before last. I was like, God damn it. On a guy I really liked too. And we had gone on a couple dates, but whatever. I mean,
so you never, so my, but my question to you is, so you never asked him and he never followed up?
No, I'm so not that type. I honestly, I don't care. Like, I'm just not the type to care. But, and I'm definitely not going to be like, well, you know, it really upset me that I didn't hear from you.
Well, like, no, you shouldn't be like that.
I guess it didn't work out.
No, you shouldn't be like that. But
yeah, because when somebody comes at me that way, it doesn't end well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, you don't know what I'm going through in my life on a day-to-day basis. You don't know if I got some other shit going on, and that's why I can't hang out with you right now. You know what I mean? Like, they're just – I just – no. So – You know, you live, you learn, you move on to the next one. It's a new week.
I don't know.
That's how it was for me.
I think swipe left. Generational. I don't know.
Oh, for sure. I mean, dating has changed so much, even specifically over the last, like I said, 4 years, even five. It used to be so taboo to, like, online date or, like, use dating apps, and now that's all what anybody uses because they're so fucking scared of being rejected.
I know, because that's the thing I've said before.
No, for real, somebody that works in my office messaged me last night, and when I tell you it was the most awkward thing to walk into work today and see him there and know that we've worked together for 3.5 years.
And he never told you he liked you?
And he's never tried to, like, hit on me or anything like that. But then you want to get on your phone and try to hit me up.
That's the thing. All these youngins out there, you guys, like, not specifically, but I mean, all these young people out there these days have no idea what it's like to really have to put yourself out there, make yourself vulnerable. Yeah. Like I did my day when you had to go to the bars and you had to meet guys or whatever, or blind dates or something. And you actually be there physically in front of them and say, hey, what's up? You know, you're cute, you're hot, whatever. And now you just go on Grindr or whatever app it is and you're like, hey, you're hot, let's fuck.
No, not me. I don't do Grindr.
Well, I'm just saying that whatever app, I'm just saying the availability of people and the anonymity of people is so prevalent now, Christian was saying, it's like impossible to make a real connection the way we once did initially.
But see, I also feel like people use social media as a way to say how they really feel as opposed to in person.
So you think it could be a good thing?
Because when people get on apps and stuff and they're messaging one another, they will talk shit to one another.
Yeah, they will.
And then in person, they will be like, okay, where was all this shit talking when you were texting me and everything? They're like, oh, you know, I didn't mean any of that. And,
exactly.
You know, it just... No.
Yeah, and that's true across the internet in general when you're dealing with people. And like I was talking about last week, the people who hate me in my neighborhood, all this shit they say about me online or whatever, they when I've had meetings and stuff to my face, they've never said one bad thing to my face. And they're like, oh, hi, how are you? And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, fuck you. I mean, you say one shit about me online, in person, you can't say it to my face. So for me, if I say it online, I will say it to your face. That's how I am. But most people are just not that brave. And I guess most people just can't deal with it. And so that's why they date like this. People like to have the apps and the online shit because they're too afraid to be rejected, like Christian said.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is too bad.
Oh, gotta love society.
So what about, I don't know which one of you wrote this. I think it was Christian. Dating a white boy. How to tell your family you're bringing home a Becky.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's a question for you guys because I'm white.
Okay. I was wondering why you were asking that question.
No, because this is a conversation me and my friend had the other day, and I wanted to hear you guys' opinion.
Uh-huh.
So if you're dating, if you're black, right, and you're dating, you start dating a white guy, and you've been dating for a while, things are pretty serious, and then it's the holidays, or, you know, it's a family reunion, whatever it may be. And
see, wait, I got to stop you right there. First of all, I will not introduce anyone I'm dating to at a family reunion, but you don't mind.
Well, eventually you're going to have to bring him to the family reunion, though.
He's just saying introduce him to the family at whatever point. But yeah, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And they're white.
Uh-huh.
How do you – is your family cool with that? Like, because, you know, there's kind of like that running joke. It's like, oh, so-and-so brought a Becky home. You know what I mean? Let me find out so-and-so got a white girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Let me answer that first shortly and then let him answer it because his is going to be much more interesting than my answer. My whole family is white on my mom's side. And that's all I grew up with and that's all I know. So it was never a big deal that everybody I brought home was white practically except for like maybe 5% of them. So it was never a big deal because I'm half white and half black. So it was never a big deal. So my family, no big deal. But now I'm sure Jason may have another story.
Okay, so...
Like, what's your grandmama going to say?
Well, I've taken a white guy home to my mom, and she could care less. She was like, she treated him like, talked to him like she had known him her entire life. I mean, it wasn't like, oh my God, how dare you bring a white boy here? No, it wasn't.
Oh, well, of course not. Yeah.
It wasn't anything like that. But no, so my family was totally cool with it. I mean, I didn't have that issue. I don't have an interesting story. But, when I was dating this guy, I introduced him to the family. This is a few years ago, and people loved him.
I don't know, but don't you think that your, I mean, our experiences That's what I mentioned before. You know, your experience and my experience are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're black 100% and I'm half black.
Right.
And that, but that's, I mean, those are two different, completely different experiences. But people always think because, you know, oh, I'm half black, it's like the same thing as you experience being 100% black. It's not.
No, I just never, my family my family's open-minded.
That's good.
Yeah, they're not like that. But I thought it really was funny that when Christian said, what happens when you bring home a Becky? And when I saw the show notes, I was like, okay, I thought Becky was someone who gives good head.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know.
That's what I thought Becky was. No, I've always known Becky as someone who gives really good head.
Oh, never heard that expression.
See, I've only ever heard of it in terms of, like, as a white female or, like, a hoe.
Okay.
Which I guess would be the same. Or not the same.
I've always heard the term, like, yeah, she was giving me good Becky. That's head.
No, I've never heard that.
Okay, you need to pull up that rap song by Plot. That's how the whole thing started, about the whole
anyways.
So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, let's talk about anything else you want to say about that before we move on?
Mm-mm. I was just curious to hear y'all's opinions / if you had any
stories. Just yay interracial relationships.
What about, I don't know what this is about, Paris Hilton photos?
Okay, so there is a photos that have surfaced with Paris Hilton, what she posed for. I guess it was like she's doing like another break the internet with Paper Magazine type thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people are saying that she's trying to compare, like she's trying to be like Kim Kardashian, which I knew as soon as I heard her trying to do the break the internet with Paper Magazine thing as well. I just immediately knew that social media was like, oh, she's just trying to be like Kim Kardashian. She's trying to be like Kim Kardashian. And I'm like, no, she's just being herself. Because I'm like, and people was like, oh, she looks horrible in the photos and she looks this way, she looks that way. I've looked at the photos. She actually looks very, very nice in these photos.
Yeah, she looks sickening in all of the photos.
Yeah, she looks amazing. Now, I know one of the pictures, I was like, ooh, she kind of looks like Iggy Azalea for a moment. But I was like, no. But she looks really, really good. I'm not really sure why social media is really attacking her for this. Because she looks good. Like, if she was looking like shit, I'd be the first one to say it.
Well, because Paris was really before the whole social media thing. You know what I mean? Right, Paris, right. At the height of her career, was like, you know, a tabloid darling. She was never really social media, you know. She's not Instagram famous. You know what I'm saying?
She's like the OG of socialites.
Yeah. So
I mean, because she was around way before Twitter and amazing. Instagram and all that.
Look it up. She's wearing this sickening white fur. She's got her hair greased back with these black lips. I love her.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good. I must say, Paris, she looks good. I have to give credit where credit is due. I don't know why everyone's attacking her about this and compared to Kim Kardashian. I guess that's what the people, I guess everyone compares everything to the Kardashians now, which is so fucking stupid to me. But she looks good.
Speaking of Kardashian, is this Paris Hilton photo on Paper Magazine or something else?
It's on Paper Magazine.
It's the cover of Paper Magazine.
And that's the same magazine where she did the booty shot, right?
Yes.
Okay. Didn't I just read something yesterday or the day before that the latest cover, maybe it wasn't that magazine. I thought it was that magazine. It had two gay guys on it naked. Touching. No, I just saw the pictures. It was like a whole expose. Maybe it wasn't Paper Magazine. I thought it was. But it was a big, big brouhaha because they had these two gay guys on the front cover kissing, like lasciviously kissing, and like their hand down each other's pants. And people were going, oh my God, that's so wrong and everything else because they're gay. But if it was straight people, they're okay with it. So I thought it was the same magazine. I guess not. Okay. Sorry.
But I do want to bring this up where we're talking about photos and everything like this. Now, as a person of color, I have noticed that over the years, like when I was growing up, for example, I always hear used to like black, like when I went to school with black girls or whatever, they were always used to get teased because like they had big asses or big butts or whatever the case may be. And it was, and they were always teased for it and that type of thing. And it was funny because a friend actually brought this up to me and I was like, you actually have a really good point. They said, then all of a sudden, Kim Kardashian comes into the picture. And, you know, she shows her ass all over the internet or in pornos or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, having a big ass is a trend.
Yes. Well,
you have a really fucking good point.
Don't you know that it is an historical fact. I mean, I'm not saying this out of my ass. It's a historical fact that the majority of cultural new cultural jumps or whatever in society in America have been perpetuated initially by the black culture, starting with jazz, and that was stolen, starting with film and dance and all those things, and basket. I mean, all these things just get appropriated by the white culture, and then all of a sudden they're popular. And that's so my point is, you're not surprised.
No, I'm saying, like, my sister was teased for her ass. I mean, it wasn't like ginormous, but she was a curvy girl, like, in school.
It's because she's so black.
And it was just like, you know, they're like, oh, you know, your ass is so big. You have your butt
just
is so big.
So black, like the song goes.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And all of a sudden you have someone like Paris Hilton. Now all of a sudden everyone wants to have an ass all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's getting butt implants. And
not surprising.
I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, what? Didn't y'all, wasn't it supposed to be like, you know, like so grotesque like 20 years ago?
Maybe, so, but everything changes. But that's true, though. But if it's something a black person likes it or something, or they're the perpetuating force of it, it's not a big deal. But when some white person, it's like fucking Justin Bieber or something, coming in and doing the same song that like somebody like would do if they were black, wouldn't be as popular. It's like Patti LaBelle, for example. Patti LaBelle did that song On My Own in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Not On My Own. If you asked me to, do you know that song?
Yeah.
If you asked me to. She did that in the 80s and it was an okay hit. But when Celine Dion did it 10 years later, it was like, blew up. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you're not surprised about that, right?
No, I'm not surprised by it, but it just brought up, it was just an interesting thing.
It is interesting.
Yeah. I'm like, because now every time I look at a girl, I just see white girls with ass everywhere. I'm like, Big Frida, ass everywhere. Like, I'm like, all these white girls got ass now. Come on now, and white boys. I just see some white boys got ass. I'm like,
I love okay, a nice booty on a man. That's nice. I love a nice booty. What about? Okay, so let's talk about Wendy Williams' photo in Miami.
Oh, okay,
I haven't seen this, so I got to look it up while you're talking about it.
Okay, so there's a photo. It was just, there was a photo. I guess, you know, the paparazzi were in Miami like they always are, taking photos of celebrities, whatever the case may be. And they snapped a photo of Wendy Williams. And, you know, she's just like in her vacation wig and her purse. And wearing like a little, you know, like a little bathing suit, like a long dress type. But here is where people attacked her. First of all, it turned out to be, it was a very unflattering photo.
Yeah, it is.
So here's the thing that people are saying. First, they're saying that her nose is missing.
It's her hair is in front of her fucking face.
Well, I'm just saying what they, I'm just reporting what they're saying online. They're saying that they said the reason that this photo is so unflattering is because one, her nose is missing, and two, it looks like she has bed sores all over her legs or something like that, or eczema or something like that. Mm-hmm. And people are just like, you know, she's, you know, looking kind of sickly. You know, they're like, oh, Wendy looks totally different without makeup, which hell, I could have
told every woman, yeah.
But you know, they were just really attacking over the photo. I'm like, well, I mean, surely when she's doing a show, she's gonna be all glammed up and have makeup on,
right,
to cover, you know, to hide things and cover things and enhance things and, you know, that type of thing. But when you're out there on the beach, I mean, you pretty much stripped down, you know. So I didn't really understand why they were attacking. I mean, it's not, you know, the best photo of her, I will say that. But I didn't understand why people just really went in.
Because people like to tear down their idols and people who are in the media and make them feel bad because they're celebrities and rich and everything else. People just don't like people to be happy. And as soon as they find one in to say, you look like shit, they do it. And somebody's got static.
Hold on,
I don't know who's
major static.
Can you mute yourself, Christian? Is that you? Okay.
I'm here.
You're there.
Well, and especially for her too, because her job is to criticize celebrities, so it's kind of like, you know,
karma.
Yeah, people always love to kind of, you know, pin her up against
and
the
wall.
And
that's fair play. That's totally fair play.
I mean, it is. I think it's all mean. I'm not into criticizing people over the way they look.
It is mean.
I mean, she's a normal human being, but I was kind of pissed at her because she was trying to shade Missy Elliott.
She said
she was saying that her comeback wasn't going to be great.
Well, that's just her opinion. Whatever. Who cares?
Well, I mean,
it's Wendy Williams.
As far as like a sales point or like musically?
She was saying that Missy Elliott is attempting to make a comeback, but she was just like, well, no one really knows who she is because she's been out of the scene for so long.
It's kind
of
like,
and I was like, I know who she is.
We have these like major icons. They put out music and it doesn't sell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean,
I do understand, like, you know,
they were doing $20 Janet Jackson tickets yesterday for Cyber Monday. I mean, come on.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow. But I mean, I do understand that maybe if you're under 20 years of age or maybe under 18, you probably don't know who she is, or you probably know very little about Missy Elliott. But I don't know. It sounds like I understand it's Wendy Williams, but also sounds like she was throwing a little bit of underlying shade at Missy Elliott, like, oh, you know, her album's gonna flop. What, she didn't say that.
I haven't heard the song on the radio.
I have.
Okay.
I've heard it on, they played it on 97.9 The Beat.
But this happens with, just as Christian was saying, this happens with all of the icons of industry, that's this industry, like Madonna, of course, Janet Jackson, all of them. And they don't sell the way they once did because they're older and the younger people don't always know who they are or like them or whatever. And so it's not like, just because, I don't think it's fair to hold them to the same standards that they had when they first came out when they were 20 years old or whatever, when they blew up, you know what I mean? Because it's really rare, unless you're Madonna, for people to continue to sell out stadiums and shit like that throughout their entire career. So I don't think it's fair for her to say that she's not going to make a comeback just because a lot of people don't know who she is. They'll find out. She has publicity. She has I assume she has a label. So she'll figure it out. She'll be fine.
Well, speaking of comebacks and world tours, the Dixie Chicks actually announced a world tour of about 60 dates. And surprise, surprise, it actually sold out in under a day.
They're coming back to Dallas, too.
Yes, it's coming to Dallas and it's sold out. To be honest with you guys, and again, it's generational, before last week, whenever they announced it in the tickets on sale, I didn't know who the Dixie Chicks were. Like, I knew who they were. Like, I knew they were three chicks. They sang country music, but that's all I knew. And so I was kind of interested. So I listened to some of the music and I, you know, caught up with the whole George Bush thing and blah, 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 blah. I have to say it was really intriguing and I'm really, 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 really pleasantly surprised to hear that it actually sold out considering their history. So I think that shows times have changed, people have changed, and
well, they didn't even do anything wrong, and what they said was totally true. Totally.
Yeah,
I just want to understand why people turned on them so much.
Because it's a country group, and she was against George Bush because he's a fucking moron, and she said the truth about him, and I can't remember exactly what she said, but basically he's a fucking idiot or something. And anyway, and so the country people, the country folk who listen to country music didn't like that because, oh, you're one of the liberals, so we're going to turn on you, and so they stopped going to their fucking concerts and shit. That's what happened.
Oh, because I remember when that all went down. I wasn't living in Texas at the time, but I did hear about it because it was like national news.
It was, yes.
But I was just like, why are people? You know, I mean, it's freedom of speech. I don't understand why people are getting so bent out of shape. But like you said, it was just country people who.
Because we're
just like, how dare you
like
say
that.
Something about our president? Yes, that he's, you know, yes, whatever.
Yes. Anyway. That's what that was about. But good for them coming back. I like the Dixie Chicks, and I think they're talented and good for them. Hopefully they'll do well.
Yeah. So I've developed like a low key obsession with them now.
Oh really?
they actually like really good music. Like my mom.
Oh my gosh! Them. Amazing, amazing. They have a documentary called "Shut Up and Sing," which had come out years ago, and it's about the whole fallout and kind of their journey because they were like filming this documentary throughout the whole time, and it just happened to be, you know, how that kind of thing goes, and it's really interesting, and they say it in the movie that it wasn't really society as a whole that kind of like turned their back on them. It was more so a specific group that like was calling every radio station telling them they were going to quit listening to them as a whole and were writing all these letters. And so, of course, the corporate, which was at the time Clear Channel Radio, basically was like, don't play their music, which, of course, at that time – you know, before social media, that's when, you know, if you're not on the radio, you don't sell albums. You know what I mean? So then it became a society thing where nobody really wanted to be seen kind of supporting them because they didn't want to get in trouble. So it's interesting. If you're interested in that, Shut Up and Sing. It's on Vimeo. It's free if you want to watch it.
But you know what I hate about that? This is what I hate about that. What I hate is when someone stands up for something that they believe in, whether you agree with it or not, even if they're a fucking idiot, like Donald Trump or something, but even if somebody stands up for something, you know, and other people don't stand beside them because they're afraid of becoming associated with them or something because of their own issues, I think that's so wrong. I mean, I think if you have a true backbone, if you, whatever you believe, you stand up for that, whether it's standing beside someone who believes the same thing or not. And so I think it's really sad that the industry and everyone turned against them because they were afraid of getting a little bit of dirt on themselves. That's just embarrassing and sad. But that's America.
Welcome. Yeah, and they never folded too. And I think that's like, gives me a lot of respect for them, that they were never like, oh, we're so sorry. You know what I mean? They said, this is what we said. We believe in what we said. And now, I mean, all these 10 years later, you know, everybody kind of agrees with them. But
yeah, that's because they have principles and they have character. That's what the difference. Yeah, and that is what character is, not this bullshit. Oh, I'm sorry for saying what I said.
And what's crazy is I was looking at the comments on like Facebook, on like Ticketmaster and stuff, and people were still on there like, I'll never go to their concert.
They would say that.
I'm like, this was 10 years ago. Like,
exactly. They were saying that on Fox 4, which is a local news station here for the people who live outside of Dallas. I follow Fox 4 on Facebook, and when Fox 4 had stated that they were, you know, going back on tour, people are still like all up in arms about what they said over.
This is my issue. We have bigger issues going on in this world other than what somebody says at a concert that happened 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, you need to take that energy and apply it somewhere else, whether it be your own backyard or overseas or whatever the fuck it may be.
But see, that's the problem. Most Americans have their priorities in the wrong position. Like, they're more focused on what someone said.
Or what Kardashians, you know, are doing.
You know, yes, but they're more worried about what these bitches said back in, you know, 1768 rather than trying to, you know,
save the planet from
end racism, yes, or world peace.
Environmental issues or whatever.
Bringing troops home or some shit like that. You know, they're more worried about what these bitches said back in, you know, 1692.
That's because bitches love to hate, period. That's all there is to it. Bitches love to hate. And I know so many bitches who love to hate, and they just love to hate because they can hate. That's all they care about is hate. So fuck them. Who cares?
So yeah, that's just America for you, unfortunately. Most, not all, but most have their priorities in the wrong places. That's all. Moving on.
Who the fuck is Laquan McDonald?
Really?
I don't know who that is. I've been watching the news.
I don't know who Laquan is.
Yes, Laquan McDonald is the guy who was shot by a police officer in Chicago.
Another one? Like this week?
Yes. Yes. It happened back in October, but now it's just now making national news because they were trying to cover it up. So the police officer, I don't want to go too much into it because this just recently became national, like within the past few days. So I don't have all the details, but from what I've heard from CNN, according to CNN, is that he was 17 years old. He had a knife on him. I'm not sure why he was called by the police, but he had a knife on him. And the officer, whose name is Jason Van Dyke, I guess there was some exchange of words with the case. But anyway, he shot the boy 16 times within 15 seconds.
I did read about this. Yes, I did. I've seen about this. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, just within, you know, well, let me say, this originally happened October 20th of last year. Let me rephrase that. But it didn't become national until recently. And then right after all this happened, supposedly the city paid his family out like $1.5 million or something like that to try to cover it up, just kind of like keep the family quiet. Uh-huh. But this is before they had released, you know, done autopsy and, you know, reports and that type of thing. Now that they find out that, you know, this boy had been shot 16 times and, you know, all this other stuff. And now, you know, the city of Chicago, as well as just all, you know, just national, national news. I mean, people are just really upset, and people in Chicago were looting and were saying, you know, 16 shots. They were chanting 16 shots.
So it's just another one. Just another fucking case of this fucking idiocy that's going on.
Yeah, it is. And here's the thing about it. Like, it's sad that's in this. Like, I'm really sick of hearing about it, but it's at this point now, it seems like it's becoming so common, which is never okay. But it's like this started to become like almost like a monthly occurrence.
Because, you know, we have so many cameras everywhere now. This was filmed by a police cruiser. But I mean, generally, we have cameras everywhere. Everyone has cameras. And I think they're more prolific. And so we're catching these things more often. But they've happened all along through history, of course. Right. Unfortunately, it's just we're just hearing more about them more often, I think, which is good. I think it's good to hear about them. Even it's sad that we're having them happen every month. But it's good that we're hearing about them as often as we are, because it means that people are being held accountable more often. And that's good. So hopefully something will happen in the end, and they'll actually be whatever needs to happen. They go to jail or something. The cop who shot him, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
So yeah, and then
I'm trying to find out
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I'm trying to find out where the city of Chicago is getting $1 million to shut somebody up when they need to be invested in their own damn neighborhoods.
Well,
that's all I had to
say. Yeah,
and then
it's amazing
then
when they'll come up with money when they have to go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, and then the people actually have the nerve to support this police officer that shot this kid. Mm-hmm. They actually started a GoFundMe page for this police officer. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's the way they do. It's because they create, what they do is end up making it an us and them proposition. And they end up making it about, you know, black and white. They end up making it about, you know, conservative versus liberal or whatever. It's always, that's how they do it.
I'm thinking to myself, the cameras, the dash cameras show him shooting this boy. Like, it's obvious this police officer shoot this, and y'all still go raise a goddamn GoFundMe account for this man. And I'm thinking to myself, and then here's where GoFundMe comes in. They had raised, I don't know, between $10,000 to $12,000, and then I guess when GoFundMe had, you know, right, had found out that, you know, this money was starting to go, GoFundMe was like, oh no, the fuck you're not.
Yep.
You're not gonna drag our name through the mud. And they took the shit down.
They did.
GoFundMe was like, oh hell no. No.
Good.
So I'm glad that GoFundMe did it, that they removed it and gave the people their money back or whatever that they do in that situation.
So
I'm assuming they refund the people. But that I did like the fact that GoFundMe did that. They just like, bitch, you are not about to drag my name through this mess. So it was just so upsetting to me that he's on camera. This is like, they're not accusing him. It's clearly, it's shown on camera, and people still raise a fucking GoFundMe account.
They do what they can to discredit it, because there's so much.
I think you guys would like, last week, the reason I wasn't on the show is because I was at the premiere of Chi-Raq, which is that movie that's coming out next week, or the end of this week, Friday. And it's a new Spike Lee movie, and it's actually about Chicago. And a lot of social issues get brought up in the movie, just like Sandra Bland, Trayvon Martin. I mean, all of that is kind of tied into the movie, but if you're interested in those kind of social issues, that kind of thing, and if you're educated, it's a really, really interesting movie. It's inspiring, and I think you guys would really like it. I would encourage you guys to go see it.
Okay, I'll think about it.
I will. I'm a Spike Lee kind of person.
I mean, it's not very – just to clarify with you guys, because I kind of went into the movie thinking that I was walking into a gang movie that was about to be loud and violent, and it was so not that. It's actually very poetic. The whole movie is like one long poem. It all rhymes. sorry, maybe
I don't know if I – go ahead.
What was that?
I don't know if I could deal with an entire movie that's a poem.
I mean, you kind of get over it. I'm from a theater background, so I'm that's like Shakespeare. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing to me. But it's interesting, and the Angela Bassett is incredible in the movie. Jennifer Hudson's amazing in the movie. It tells a story of a mother whose young daughter gets shot by a stray bullet, and it goes to her trying to fight for their – it's based in Inglewood, trying to fight for their community to end gang violence. So it's basically all of the women gang members come together, and they try to find a way to convince their men to quit gang banging. And so that's ultimately what it's about, and then you follow their journey through there. But it's an awesome movie.
Cool. I will watch it when it comes on Netflix then.
I'm going to watch it in movie theater because I'm a Spike Lee.
Yeah, man. I like Spike Lee. I mean, some of his movies, the earlier stuff in the 90s, but I don't know if I would. I don't know. I think I'll watch it when it comes on Netflix, though, for sure. Definitely. Speaking of nothing, Atlanta Housewives, let's talk about that, guys.
Okay, so this one was pretty much, I feel like it was more another filler episode. It really didn't get good towards the very end. Of course, you know, that's how Bravo does
it. I keep hearing that. I haven't seen them, but I keep hearing that they're not that good.
Yes, I mean, this is like episode 3, episode 4. So far,
I don't think that's true. It's been very eventful.
You like it?
The first one had Kenya and Sheree going at it, and this one we have Cynthia and Portia, and Portia fucking attacks her. That's some TV.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It didn't happen until the very end. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's because they want to keep you watching.
It was mainly just much of a filler episode.
All right.
So pretty much you have the first it starts off. I'm not going in order because I'm not going in order. So if I'm not going in order, excuse me. But I know there was a scene with Portia which they had gone, her and Phaedra had gone to like this sex shop or some lingerie store or something like that. And, you know, she purchased some, you know, lingerie that she was going to wear for that guy that she's dating. I forgot his name. And she puts all of it on. Gets home and was going to Skype with him. And he was like, well, I'm busy. I'm training. I'm in meetings and stuff like that. So then
they had a prearranged appointment.
Right. And I guess he wasn't making because he was in meetings and stuff like this. Yeah. So then Portia gets upset and calls Phaedra. And Phaedra's like, well, you know, maybe the fire is gone. And, you know, that type of thing. And I'm
2 months later.
Exactly. And I'm just thinking to myself, everyone keeps saying, why is Portia just like diving in so fast? Like, why is she going head over heels with this guy that she is still somewhat trying to get to know?
She's thirsty. She's thirsty for that connection and that love.
She's a thought.
We know that already.
She said it herself. She said she was Queen of Thoughtlandia. So yes. I mean,
but I mean, I think I don't. I particularly do. I'm not particularly like her. I don't like her that much at all, actually. But I mean, to be fair, she came off that marriage or whatever with Cordell, and he didn't seem to be the most supportive guy or whatever, and kind of controlled her and everything else. And so now I think this guy, she's like, this guy's a real man and this man and blah, blah, blah. And she's like all over this guy because he's kind of represents what she wanted in her ex. Anyway, I'm speaking from psychological perspective, I guess, but I think that that's where it's coming from. And that's why she's so desperate. She really wants to find that kind of thing, a connection again. But the thing is, she's going way too soon about it. She's going to run the guy off, which she has. They're broken up now. You know that, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know.
So that's going to happen.
Out about it.
And then what else happened on the show?
So Kenya walks down the street to Sheree's house. First of all, I was like, why? But you know, to each their own. And when Kenya gets to Sheree's house, Sheree's at the at her house
sweeping
the thing. The now, here's the thing. No one ever said this up until this point. I'm thinking to myself, now you're at the front of the house. She was sweeping the front doors of her house or the porch or whatever. How do you have that big ass fucking house and you don't have any steps?
They haven't done the landscaping yet.
But I mean, I don't get it.
I mean, you're right.
And plus, I'm thinking to myself, why? Well, we know why, but we know she's financing this shit because, you know, she doesn't have any good credit. Allegedly. But it's just one of those things. I'm like, girl, you've been building this house for 3 fucking years. Let me tell you something. My parents bought some land, built a house. They had that house built from the ground up in 4.5 months. Okay.
So what?
It's taking this bitch 3.5 years.
So what? She doesn't have the money to do it all at once. So she's doing it. That's what I've done.
If it's going to take you 3.5 years to buy a house, first of all, you'll need to be in a house that fucking big. It's going to take you 3 years to build it. Unless you have a house like, you know, Bill Gates, it should not take you 3 years. They build houses.
That's not true. I do this for a living, and that is not true. It is not true.
They have houses that size in Highland Park, and they have those bitches up in 6 months. They have them bitches up so fast, I'd be scared to walk in there.
I'm trying to tell you that this is not this is not completely true. Her house, supposedly her house is like 15,000 square feet. A 15,000 square foot house is going to take probably at least a year to build to that extent. And so it's taken far too long to build it. I agree with that. But I'm saying that to say it should be built in 3 months or something is ridiculous. That house is fucking huge. So that's not true. And she's paying for it in installments, as Christian said. If that's the case, so what? Let the bitch pay for it in installments. That's what I've done with my house. I've been working on my house for 2 years, and I've been doing all the inside, and I'm doing the outside now. So I'm working on it that way, because I'm not going to go out and get a loan for what I need to get for it. So I'm not going to do that.
But
so
her situation is different, though. It's like, because the thing is, Iyanla said it best. I don't know if you watched the episode with Iyanla and Sheree.
Iyanla
was like, why are you building this big-ass house? You building this big-ass fucking house, and you actually ask your husband for child support.
Yep. Well, Iyanla was totally right about
that
her.
That was a good one.
She was totally right about her.
But well, she was right. I was like, why would you build that big of a fucking house? But you claim and you steady hollering and claiming that you're broke and you don't have any money.
Right.
And you want to get, you know, child support from your ex-husband. But yeah, you building this big-ass house, driving this fancy-ass car. You know, you walking around with Hermes and Louis Vuittons and shit like that. But yeah, you asking for child support.
I don't know. This is like, I have a thing about money, though. That's the thing. I think people's money is their own money, and they can do what the fuck they want with it. But they have it or they don't have it. So if she wants to spend her child support on her fucking house, she can do it, because that's the way it is. If she wants to spend money she doesn't have and go into Hawk or goes, apparently she's been seeing stealing and returning things in Neiman Marcus and things like that, too. If she wants to go do that, let the bitch do it, because that's the kind of person, character the bitch has. But I don't think it's right for you or me to anybody else to say, look, it's taking you too long to build your fucking house. Get your fucking house done. I think if the bitch wants to take 10 years to build her house, she can take 10 years to build her house. She's building the house. She's paying for it. Let the bitch do what she wants. That's what I think.
Well, the neighbors are already complaining, saying that.
That's what Kenya said. And Kenya's a fucking lying bitch anyway, because Kenya said to Sheree, oh, the neighbors complain. She's like, which neighbors and whatever? She said, well, apparently you got a fine. She said, I got one fine, and that was for drainage. It's the only fine I've ever gotten. So Kenya exaggerates things. And so just because somebody says something doesn't make it true.
Honestly, just from what I've seen on TV, it looks like an eyesore. That's just my opinion.
I think her house is ugly. I do think that house is hideous.
I know it is. It is. It's hideous. It's ugly. That's a horrible color on that house. I don't know why you want to get that color.
I don't know if it's done, though. Is the exterior? I'm not sure they finished painting the exterior yet. I think it's, if they have, that's really but ugly. But I don't think they finished
and
painting.
And the inside isn't even done. They were just saying on the show that girl, let's move on. I mean, they were just talking about how, you know, she didn't have a kitchen yet and stuff. I was like, so all this time you've just been working on the outside of the house?
Do you know how much it costs to build a house like that? Do you have any idea?
No, because I don't have that kind of money.
Okay. I know, because I deal with this shit all the time. And that house, I mean, Atlanta, I don't know what her land cost or whatever else, but that house probably cost her close to $1 million to build. So I don't know where she got the money. I don't know how she's paying for it, but what I'm trying to say is if she ends up building that house,
if I was a judge presiding in her child support case,
yeah,
and you're building a $1 million house, and you have the audacity to step into my courtroom and ask for a child support from your ex-husband,
it's back child support,
bitch. If you don't get the fuck out of here,
it is back child support. He owed her that already, and he never paid it. She even talked about that on the show. That's what she's after. It's not child support he owes her now. It's child support he never paid, so she's owed that money.
Well, she's delusional.
Donovan, you are a huge Sheree fan.
I hate that bitch.
You are in here fighting for her.
I hate Sheree. No, I hate her. I cannot stand that bitch. I think she's a fake ass bitch. I don't like her. No, I'm just, what I'm defending is, I don't like people telling people what to do with their money. I hate that.
Well, no, I'm not telling her what to do with her money. Only thing I'm saying is that it's just taking her a very long time for her to build this house. Now, in reality,
and
y'all so damn petty.
I'm just saying.
I'm just being a bitch, man.
I mean,
I say don't live beyond your means.
Well, yeah, that too.
Exactly.
Again, whatever she wants.
But you don't. Nobody knows what her means are. You don't know
neither
what the means
neither
are.
Does she, obviously.
I mean, you don't know that. We don't know what. That's what I'm saying. Don't get. Look, okay. How do I say this? Don't get.
No, but we got 4 minutes left, so go.
Bitch,
ahead.
We got as long as I say we got. Don't get into other people's business when it comes to money. That's people are funny about money, and whether you have it or you don't have it. Most people who have it don't go around saying, I got all this money, blah, blah, blah. Most people who have it just let things be. But people like Sheree, who need to build this massive-ass house that they don't need, which I agree with you, and people like Sheree need to drive a whatever she has, a Mercedes or whatever that kind of car it is, or Bentley, whatever. People like Sheree need to go to Neiman Marcus and return shit that they can't afford. They are all about what, you know, appearances and all that shit. And so if she wants to be that kind of person, let her be that bitch. But we all know the real deal. But you don't need to go around saying, oh, the bitch don't have any money. The bitch don't do it. Just like Kenya's doing. I just find it to be tacky because I think people like Kenya are tacky. And when she came to that party on the first episode, and Kenya just right out of the gate attacks her, when's your house going to be done, bitch? You know, that kind of shit.
Well, yeah, Kenya was wrong for that, I will say.
And so I'm just saying, I think money is a personal thing, just like sex or just like anything else. And I think that it's no one else's business how much money she has or doesn't have. As long as she pays her bills, which she may not be doing, as long as she pays her bills, that's all that matters. So it doesn't matter how long it takes her to build her fucking house. Let her have her fucking house, even if it is fucking ugly. It doesn't matter. I mean, okay. I well, I don't know.
She said she wanted to be in her house by Christmas, but the way it was looking, I'm just saying. But
yeah, again, I like, but I did like Kenya's house though. Kenya's house is going to be nice. I mean, you said it looked like crap, but I can see the vision.
Initially, it looked like crap, but I feel like when Kenya, by the time it's done, Kenya's going to have her house looking really, really nice.
The vision, I can see the vision she has for it, and it's going to be really modern. It's going to be fantastic. I love it. Before we go, real quick, what else happened on the show? So there's that, and then there was, Kim Fields. What about Kim Fields and her whole thing about, I don't have any friends?
She's, I really like Kim Fields, but she's incredibly boring on the show. I just feel like, the reason I say she's incredibly boring, because I just feel like that she's not cut to do this type of show.
She's too normal.
Exactly. It's just like
she's too normal, and that's
She's too normal.
That's a good thing, but not when you're on a reality show.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And the whole thing at the end. Fast forward to the end. Portia and Cynthia got into it, and so because supposedly Portia called Cynthia a bitch, even though Candy said we've been calling bitches all evening on this boat.
Right.
So, and all of a sudden, I guess Portia said it the wrong kind of said the bitch, like I guess she called a bitch instead.
I was
of
on
bitch
Portia's side.
Or something. I don't know.
I was on Portia's side that time, and I don't even like Portia. I like what's her face, Cynthia, but I don't like Portia. And I was actually on her side because she didn't say it in the way like you know she meant it. She was being like, "Hey, bitch," you know that kind of thing.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, they just took and Candy and Kim were like, "Y'all, we've been calling each other bitches all evening. So why are you getting upset now?" And then it, you know,
escalated.
Escalated. And we'll have to see what happens. And I want, is that the same scene where they were talking about earlier during taping where Portia got kicked in the stomach? I'm thinking that's what it is.
Portia got kicked in the stomach. Yes, and she was on the ground or whatever. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's why I don't agree with her. Portia has a problem. She attacked Kenya at the reunion, and now she's going to attack Cynthia. I mean, she's got an issue. She needs to fucking
She's
back
just
off.
Trying to stay on the damn show.
That's not the way to do That's it. She almost I got think. Kicked off the first time for doing
well,
it.
Well, no, it's not the way to do it, but, you know.
Whatever.
I think they need to bring back my girl from last season. What's her name?
Claudia?
What's her name? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was boring, too. I don't like her.
I like Claudia because she was real.
She was I like cool. Claudia.
I mean, like she her. Was okay, but I just feel like she didn't bring anything to the show.
I think you need a little bit of balance.
Is Kim Fields bringing anything to the show?
No.
It doesn't sound like
you
it.
Know who I feel like would bring something to the show, and she's never been a housewife? Marlo. I feel like she would make a good housewife.
She was on there before. She brought a lot of drama.
She's never been a housewife.
She's
only been a friend.
Right. But I thought that this season they were testing her out because that's why they're bringing her back on the show. Just see. Because, you know, sometimes they bring somebody on the season before to test them out and see how they test.
And also in the following season, they'd be like, oh, Marlo's a new housewife.
Yeah, housewife. Exactly. Yeah. So, anyway.
She's another one where people will always be speculating her money and stuff.
Oh, Marlo? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Marlo. Well, we know where Marlo gets her money, we think, anyway.
She said God.
Mm-hmm. a guy named God, probably.
Credit card scam.
Oh, my. Really? Seriously? Oh, my God.
Anywho. And the last thing, I'm just trying to squeeze this in.
Yeah,
real.
Sure.
Black Friday. Yes. Now, I'm going to do a little quick rant, and then I know we got to go. Years ago, I just think Black Friday was just like the day to go out and get shopping, and you go get all these fantastic deals, which is still true for some things like TVs and stuff like that. But now as I get older, I feel like Black Friday is just a reason for people to show their ass and act a fucking fool at the stores. Because there's a story circulating of a woman and a child. They were at a Walmart. Go figure. It's always Walmart. It's never Best Buy. It's never, you know, Whole Foods. It's never Macy's. It's always fucking Walmart. But anyway, they're going in for the Black Friday sale, and they're going for the steamer or whatever. The lady grabs a steamer. The child grabs a steamer. There's a woman who grabs a steamer out the child's hand, and then the woman gets upset and like tries to go in the chokehold. And then with the I'm just gonna be honest.
The woman was white,
and then she just went into the total white woman in distress yell, and you know, because the woman,
why are you attacking me?
Yeah, she said, "White, stop it! You're scaring me." I said, "White woman in distress. That's all that is." She let out the universal white woman in distress yell. So, but I'm thinking to myself, y'all are fighting over $25 veggie steamer. And here's the kicker, people. I went online. Guess what? It's still $25. It's still $25. It hasn't fucking changed, people. Why are you going and running like fucking mad animals to go get this fucking thing? And here it is. What is today? Tuesday, December 1st. It's still $25. Why? Why run in like heathens?
People are manipulated by that shit. I don't know why. Yeah. I mean, I've never do anything Black Friday ever, so I don't know what the point of it is, but whatever. Plus, people get trampled and shit from TVs and bullshit. That's crazy. I mean, whatever. But you're right. You're right. Why? Exactly.
It's still
why?
$25.
Exactly why.
I can go online and buy this shit right now. $25. And I did it from the comfort of my own home. I didn't have to run.
That's what Black Monday's for.
I didn't have to fight anyone. I didn't have to curse out anyone.
Black Monday's for that.
I didn't have to park 6 miles away to get into the building.
You can do the same thing on Black Monday the following Monday after the Black Friday. It's the same thing online. So it's the same thing. So just do it online like you said.
But you don't hear Bonnie getting virtually trampled on.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you. I agree. All right.
So people, just stop with.
Yeah, just stop.
Not everyone is a smart shopper. You got to remember that. Some people just think, oh, it's Black Friday. They have good deals. I have to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they don't.
Exactly.
Do you know, if I buy a big purchase, like an electronic or something, I literally take like a week almost research and shit. That's how I do shit. I'm like so not a fast shopper like that. No way. Anyway, we want to say thanks for listening to the show, everybody. I appreciate it. Find out more about me at offlimitshow.com. You can listen to Christian at
Christian Craven on Twitter and Instagram.
And Jason,
you can follow me on Instagram, which is Jason B like. It's Jason _ B _ like. But I feel like I should change my Twitter.
You on the gram like, now? Are you on the gram now?
No, I said, did I say Instagram?
You said Instagram.
Oh, sorry. I meant Twitter. Sorry, people. I do not have Instagram. but I feel
yes,
like
you
I
do. Change. You have Instagram. Don't lie.
Well,
I know you do because I saw it come up the other day.
But I deactivated it because ever since Tamar the bitch Braxton blocked me.
I'm over her right now. Anyways, thank you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more. Have a good night.
Bye
people.
GayXYZ.com.